Okay, warm enough for everybody. A little toasty out there, isn't it? We're going to talk about everybody's favorite subject, judgment, today. You know, what's the first thought when you think of judgment? Don't we generally think of punishment? You know, that tends to be the first thing that people think of. Well, judgment means punishment. You know, someone breaks the law and goes before the judge to be sentenced, and if it's serious, they may need a lawyer, may need to have a trial. In that case, you can be found guilty or innocent. You know, if innocent, you're free to go. You know, if guilty, then there are consequences and maybe punishments, from monetary fines to prison to probation. That's where the scales of justice, we always see the scales of justice come into play, depending on what we've done. You know, good on one side, bad on the other, what outweighs the most? Which one weighs more? Does the punishment fit the crime? You know, but there's also good judgments. There's also fair judgments. You know, the 4-H fair in our county just finished, and they pass out ribbons, you know, as awards. It's contests. You've got ice skating and gymnastics, and a lot of those Olympics ones that are based on a judge giving you a score. And we can agree or disagree on how they score them, but judges make their own rulings, and that's what it goes by. There's judgments in sports all the time, judgments on fouls in basketball, penalties. You know, I can't think of a more one with balls and strikes. You know, there is a judgment call, and, you know, probably the worst thing they did was put that little square up there on TV so you can see what it was, and then when it's not, like, did you see that? But it's a judgment call, you know, what he saw, what he saw the play being made. You know, and then you throw Christians in there. A lot of the world says, well, Christians, well, they're judgmental people. You know, they judge people. They're holier than thou sometimes. They judge others. You know, of course, Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged, you know, and a lot of the world knows that one, but he does say, you'll be judged as you judge others, so we got to be careful. You know, it's that plank in our eye trying to get the speck out of the other one's eye. You know, we're not to judge others. That's, judging's really not our job. Discerning is, but judgment is the word that's always used, and that's really not what it is. It's discernment. But there is a judgment coming for every single person. Every single person. It's an eternal judgment that you will, that it won't have a weighted scale, okay? It won't have a weighted scale to decide whether you're guilty and deserving punishment or innocent and deserving freedom. It doesn't come that way. God's going to judge based on whether you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've repented of your sin and accepted his deliverance for our sin. It's not what we do, it's what he did. And it just happens to be your choice to accept it or not. Now, you will be judged on that, because actually we already are guilty. We already deserve punishment. We're already guilty. But Jesus took our place, and he took our punishment on himself. And he interceded for us to give us freedom and a life in Christ. And so we have that option to accept him and have that freedom. There is a book in heaven with names written down called the Book of Life. And you want to be listed. You want your name on there. You know, the names aren't in pencil where they can be erased and added back again. They don't come off and put back on. You know, it's permanent marker. Really, I thought, you know, we can say, you know, when you say something's really strong, it's written in blood. And it truly was. It's written in Jesus' blood. Because his blood allows our name to be there. It's not a naughty or nice list like Santa has. It's not how it works. And there isn't a facing of a judge to decide if you're there, because upon death from this life, that decision's been made. Your eternal decision, saved or not, has been made once this life ends. Your name is there or it isn't. and there's no more chances, despite what some other versions of religion might tell you. This life, you have one life to live. You got to make it count. And I think many Christians are even confused, and we've had the question come up, even in Bible study, well, this is what I've always heard, you know, and, you know, they've always say that, you know, kind of using the scales, you know, this much good, this much bad, and am I going to make it or am I going to not? That's again, to see how if the good outweighs the bad, to see if I passed and get to go in. That's, again, that's not what it's going to be about. You know, God isn't going to ask you about your sins. I don't think he's going to ask you about them. That's already been decided. You know, even if he did, Jesus would step in and say, it's okay, I got that one. You know, as the next one is brought, I got that one. And the next one, I got that one. You know, eternal life is decided, is judged upon death here, upon this life. There is one called the White Throne Judgment, and that's in, we're going to read Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Going to be skipping around a little bit. There was so much. I finally condensed it down to just a few here, but so much. Probably could do many, many messages on it. But Revelations 20, 11 through 15 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and in him who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." So it says there's books and then there's a book. And the book of life is what we want to be in. And if your name is not there, that goes into the lake of fire eventually. You know, those who haven't accepted Jesus' offer of salvation are sent to eternal punishment. That's what you have to look forward to. The second death. You know, it's a final, complete separation from God. There's no part of him in that anymore. And I'm not sure that we can imagine exactly what that's going to be like. How terrible, how bad that is. You know, Bible gives us a hint of the torment in the rich man Lazarus in Luke 16. I'm not going to read that. You can read that. But agony and fire in a place of torment. You know, as many times as you've heard people say they wish them there, none of us wish them there. And that's why we tell people the gospel. That's why we tell people what God's doing. Because we're an instrument in God's hands to keep people out of that place, to offer them a better place. Now, there is another judgment for every believer. In Jesus, it's called the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema seat. It's not a judgment of salvation. Again, that's already decided when you accepted Jesus. When you accepted Christ, you know, you don't have to wait till death to get that. I mean, it's now. You have it now once you accepted Christ. It's just not realized until death in this life that you actually gain it. You're actually there. But you have it now. It's a promise. It's a, as he says, the Holy Spirit's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. So you actually have it. You have ownership of that. He's given it to you. You belong to him. But this is a different kind of judgment. And we touched on it in the Revelation, but I want to read 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. It says, "So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You know, again, this isn't a judgment for sin. You've already accepted Christ. You're a believer. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. You already belong to Him. Those sins were washed away. You know, He says, whose sins are forgiven and remembered no more. So there's nothing to talk about as far as that goes. But Jesus is there proclaiming your righteousness and why you're there. But this is a review of your works for rewards. It's not just any works. You know, it's but works that had Jesus in mind, that had works of faith, of what you believed in, works of obedience to God's word, what Jesus called you to do, works of love, that you've loved one another like Jesus did. It's the actions that resulted from our faith. Those are the works He's talking about. You know, when you get hired into a company, you might call that being accepted into the company. You know, there's always expectations. You know, you get hired and they have something for you to do. They have a job for you to do. You might even get a title. But there comes a day when your work is evaluated. You know, whether it's a pay increase or perhaps a promotion. And maybe during the view, you might have an opportunity to tell all the boss all the good things that you've done for the company and how great you are and how indispensable you are and how you're ready for more responsibility. Now, inside, you may be just looking forward to the perks and prestige. Maybe it's another title change. And you've worked hard to invest in your future. And this is your time to shine. You know, I have this opportunity to get more, to live the life you've envisioned. You know, but in the end, it's up to the boss who decides if you're worthy to receive these benefits that you want. You know, he's going to base it upon what you've shown him, how you've proved yourself. You know, you agreed to be a part of this group. And he's going to see if you really did what you're doing to enhance this group and to enhance this company. Now again, he says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the Greek word is phanero. And it does mean appear. It means reveal. It means make known. It means expose. But more than that, it means to turn inside out. You know, you may have an excellent resume and notes and paperwork of all the great things you did, but Jesus is going to make it plain and known exactly who these things were done for. You know, it's not going to be a secret. You know, this is when you give your account. I think these are some of the other books. You may have a stack of books. Look at all the things I've done. There may be some that only have one book. You got to give an account of ourself. But he's going to know, what were your motives? If it was due to your faithfulness, was it due to your obedience? Was it due to your commitment to Christ? Or were they for you? You know, rewards will be given if they're based on us living for His name and His glory, but not ours. The reward you get here is it. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. Says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wisest builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You know, our life is to please God. You know, we're not put here just to have fun and do what we want to do. Our life is to please God and have a relationship with Him. Our life is to build the kingdom. And a lot of that's based on those before us, with Jesus as the cornerstone. You know, it's based on him and what he wants, and others. We're to keep expanding, keep building what others before us have built. But how are we building it? Or are we? You know, what materials are we using, and what's it for? It says the day will bring it to light. Well, that's the day he's talking about. When you're standing in front of him, he's going to bring it to light. It's going to be shown. When we're standing before Jesus, it's not going to be hidden. It'll be there for everyone to see. Everyone will know. Jesus will know why you did it. And all these things we have done will be tested. And I think the Spirit of God will burn up everything we have done. And those things built with wood, hay, straw, you know, that we did out of selfish ambition. Maybe we wanted notoriety. Maybe we were looking for praise from others. Maybe some selfish gain. Those won't mean anything. Those are going to be burned up. And I think you can say, people are going to look, there's going to be some mighty fine pieces of woodwork. They're going to look very nice. And people are going to be proud of that woodwork. But it's going to see it turned into ashes and thrown out. Because it wasn't for God. It was for them. Those things with gold, silver, and costly stones. You know, as Andy did downtown, witnessing. You know, giving of our time. Giving of our talents. Giving of our treasure. Prayers. Helping. Teaching. You know, living for him. Working for him. Loving others for him. They'll survive. They'll be rewarded. You know, the jobs aren't easy. You know, we've talked many times, life isn't easy. The jobs aren't easy. Sometimes loving isn't easy. It's hard. But this life is training ground for privileges and responsibilities for eternity. You know, we're working and investing in a future that Jesus wants to give us. You know, he's going to look at every reward he can find. I think he wants to give us rewards. He's going to look for them. You know, if you look at Mark 9:41, it says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." You may have a little book. He's going to find every reward he can give you. Every reward that he can. The littlest things you might not think will be rewarded. A cup of water. He's going to give that to you. I'm going to read Ephesians. We're going to have the invitation time in just a few minutes here. But a couple of Ephesians passages to close out. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we're not saved by works, but works come out of our faith, out of our appreciation for what Jesus did for us. It says we were created to do good works. And he had them planned. He prepared in advance for us to do them. That's God's plan, for us to be obedient, to trust him, to do the work he asked us to do. In Ephesians 6, 7, and 8, it says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free." So, you maybe think you work for a boss, or you work for a company, but you know, work as if you're working for the Lord. You know, in all things you do, you're serving him. Let that be known. So we want to see, how are we using our time? How much of it is for us, and how much of it's for God? Time is one of the big things it takes. You know, is it for God when it's convenient, or when we can spare it? You know, God says to store up treasures in heaven that can't be destroyed. How much do you think you have? If you thought about it, how much treasure do you have in heaven? And then how much would Jesus, you think Jesus would say you have? There'll be different rewards. You know, everybody's, it's not a across the board salary raise, you know. It's not, it doesn't depend on your evaluation. Everybody gets the same thing. That's not how it works. There will be difference. You know, I remember a speech class I had in college, you know, it was based on what you wanted to do. How much were you willing to work for the reward? You know, it was a thing where, and I wasn't a speech giver. I didn't enjoy being in front of people and all that stuff. And here I am. But, so college, you go there and, you know, you had to take speech. And of course I didn't have, most of these classes have a TA or a teacher's assistant. Now I had the head of the department. But you know, he was pretty cool on that. Okay, here's the deal. Here's your speeches. You do one, you get a D. You do two, you get a C. You do three, you get a B. If you do all four, you get an A. So all you had to do was put the effort in to do them. Well, I went with the A, as much as I dreaded standing up there four times, because if you just do the work, now you needed to do it fairly well. You couldn't just, you know, stand there, but you got the reward for doing the work. Some didn't. You know, some, I'm good with a D. I'm good with a C. I'm out of here. They could have had an A. You know, rewards will vary. You know, some who others might not look well on will receive a lot. And some who others might think highly of here, will receive very little. You know, the talents, you know, there's a parable of talents. Again, I'm not going into that, but how did they use those? You know, the ones that got rewarded were the ones that multiplied them. They used them for something. They multiplied them and were put in charge of many things. Now, what do you want the future to look like? What are you willing to do to hear, well done and good and faithful servant? Do you just expect it? You think you've earned it? You know, it's not about what you've gotten, but what you've given. It's not about what you've won, but what you've done. It's not about what you've saved, but what you've sacrificed. It's not about how you were honored, but how you served and loved others. You know, true believers in Christ, you don't have to doubt where you're going for eternity. But believers in Christ will have a judgment too. But it's a judgment for rewards. Just think of all the work you do. Who's it for? Is it for me? Or is it for God? Because he created us to do good works. So just plan your days when you go about that, to do good works just each day. Spend the time, take the time, and do what he's asked us to do. You will be rewarded. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word.